The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that helps you make sense of things that would otherwise baffle you. Like, for example, why does that one shoe hide in the back of the closet like that? Is it afraid of you, or does it just need some alone time? Or maybe it's ashamed of something. Something terrible that only a shoe would be ashamed of. The answers to these and other questions right here, right now on the Eric Metaxas Show. And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
You know, that's very conceptual humor.
It is.
I'm more of a pie-in-the-face kind of Three Stooges guy.
One of those
Almost exactly. That's right. All right. In a couple of seconds, we are going to have a United States senator in the studio on the program. Can you guess which senator? Did you guess? Senator Rand Paul.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, that's that would be a United States president.
Okay.
But we have Rand Paul standing by, and we're going to talk to him. He has a new book, The Case Against Socialism.
There's a case against socialism?
There's a case against it, and he's going to make the case.
Good.
A really big deal to have him on this program. In hour two, we're going to be talking about Richard Nixon. Now, we talk about religious liberty on this program a lot, okay? And this morning, I open up the Wall Street Journal, and William McGurn, who is he's a New Yorker. I've met him many times. He's a pro-life hero in New York City. Conservative Christian Catholic who writes a column for the Wall Street Journal. He wrote a column talking about Bill Barr, that's our attorney general, who spoke at Notre Dame on religious liberty. And I thought, I'm going to do something on this program that I've never done. I'm going to read the article out loud so that everyone can hear this.
Okay.
Because sometimes you tweet something out or you put it on Facebook, there's a firewall. People can't read it if they're not subscribed to the Wall Street Journal. And I thought, this is way too important. So I'm going to read this, folks. This is about religious liberty. Please listen, okay? This is Bill Barr gets religion. Gets is in quotes. And this is Bill McGurn from the Wall Street Journal. He says, for Notre Dame fans, this football weekend was a twofer. Not only did the Irish beat a longtime rival, the University of Southern California, on Saturday, the campus was treated to a sight it had never before seen. The Attorney General of the United States at a pregame tailgater serenading faculty, students, and fans with his bagpipes. Turns out that was William Barr's second performance on campus. The first came at the law school Friday when he delivered a bracing speech on the role of religion in the American story of freedom. Folks, this is huge. Listen. The Attorney General advanced two broad propositions. First, the waning of religion's influence in American life has left more of her citizens vulnerable to what Tocqueville called the soft despotism of government dependency. Second, today's secularists are decidedly not of the live and let live variety. Quote, the secular project has itself become a religion pursued with religious fervor, he said. It is taking on all the trappings of religion, including inquisitions and excommunications. Those who defy the creed risk a figurative burning at the stake, social, educational, and professional ostracism and exclusion waged through lawsuits and savage social media campaigns. Right out of Central Casting, this is McGurn speaking again, right out of Central Casting, critics stepped forward to prove his point. New York Times columnist Paul Krugman accused Mr. Barr of religious bigotry and described his words as a pogrom-type speech. Political ethicist and professional attention seeker Richard Painter tapped out a series of events of even more furious tweets, here calling the speech the latest episode of The Handmaid's Tale. They're suggesting Mr. Barr isn't much of a Christian. Here again saying Mr. Barr sounded like, quote, vintage Goebbels. Alvin, are you listening? This is insane.
This is insane. I can't believe it.
This is why I want people to give to the Lions Defending Freedom. I'm reading. I'm going to keep reading this article. You have to understand where we are in our culture right now. And Bill McGurn has done a brilliant job in talking about Bill Barr's speech at Notre Dame. So hold on a second. He continues over at MSNBC. Meanwhile, retired Army Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, once chief of staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell, told Joy Reid the attorney general is, quote, Torquemada in a business suit. A reference to the Spanish Inquisition's Grand Inquisitor. This is what we have come to expect when someone in public life mentions religion in a positive light. Many didn't like Mr. Barr's blaming secularism for social pathologies such as drug addiction, family breakdown, and increasing numbers of angry and alienated young males. Yet few engaged his more arresting contention, which is that all these problems have spiritual roots. Whereas religion addresses such challenges by stressing personal responsibility, Mr. Barr argued the state's answer is merely to try to alleviate bad consequences. Quote, this is from Barr's speech, quote, so the reaction to growing illegitimacy is not sexual responsibility, but abortion, he said. The reaction to drug addiction is safe injection sites. The solution to the breakdown of the family is for the state to set itself up as an ersatz husband for the single mother and an ersatz father for the children. The call comes for more and more social programs to deal with this wreckage. And while we think we're solving problems, we are underwriting them. Now, these are the words of our attorney general. Yeah. This man is my newest hero.
Yeah, I know. Same here.
Okay. Vincent Philip Munoz, a Notre Dame professor, notes there was nothing particularly Catholic about this speech. Like Washington in his farewell address, he says, Mr. Barr focused on the irreplaceable role of religion in cultivating the morality citizens need to be capable of self-government. Okay, I, Eric Metaxas, talk about this in my book, If You Can Keep It. I talk about it all the time. This is the key, folks. Every American has to understand this. So keep listening. Quote, the speech wasn't first and foremost about religious freedom, says Mr. Munoz. It was about the human and social consequences of the new secular morality and what happens when the state views its citizens not only in purely material terms, but as subjects who can't really govern themselves. Even those who strongly disagree with Mr. Barr ought to have found this an invitation for thoughtful and vigorous debate. But rather than engage, some imply there is something unseemly about an attorney general even speaking at a Catholic university. Given the hostility that holding such a conversation engenders on campuses today, perhaps America can count itself fortunate it still has a university where this can happen. Carter Sneed, the law professor who invited Mr. Barr, puts it this way. At Notre Dame, we are not afraid to explore the hard questions about God, religion, and America together in friendship, especially on those matters about which people strongly disagree. Mr. Barr's argument has been echoed throughout American history. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. That's John Adams. Liberty cannot be established without morality, nor morality without faith. That's Tocqueville. In teaching this democratic faith to American children, we need the sustaining, buttressing aid of those great ethical religious teachings, which are the heritage of our modern civilization. For not upon strength nor upon power, but on the spirit of God shall our democracy be founded. That's Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and so on. Wow. That so many would become unhinged by Mr. Barr's relatively modest contribution to the genre is highly revealing of the absolutism of secularist opponents determined to marginalize and destroy anyone who dares dissent from their own uncompromising orthodoxy. Folks,
wow.
I got to tell you, if ever you needed to understand things, this genius, this hero, Bill McGurn in the Wall Street Journal today, this morning, has said it. Bill Barr's speech says it. We are at a critical impasse. When people don't understand religious liberty and the role of religion in America, they don't understand America, they don't understand freedom, and it all begins to unravel, which is why, before we get to Senator Rand Paul, I want to ask you, my listeners, to please give to the Alliance Defending Freedom Fund that we are raising right now. This is urgent. If Bill McGurn's article about Bill Barr's speech doesn't convince you, nothing will. We're in a David and Goliath battle, folks. The David is, of course, the Alliance Defending Freedom. This is who we have in America fighting these battles at the Supreme Court level. There's basically nobody else. Think about this, right? They're a nonprofit legal defense organization. They keep winning, but we're facing the forces of secularism, which we just heard about in this article, which attempts to squeeze religion out of America, American life. Okay, now we have a clip from Barr at his speech. This is Attorney William Barr speaking at Notre Dame. Here it is.
We are told we are living in a post-Christian era, but what has replaced the Judeo-Christian moral system? No secular creed has emerged capable of performing the role of religion. This is organized destruction. Secularists and their allies have marshaled all the forces of mass communication, popular culture, the entertainment industry, and academia in an unremitting assault on religion and traditional values.
All right, folks, I am begging you, please go to MetaxasTalk.com right now, MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the ADF banner. I promise you, this is it. Please call this number now, 800-556-2770, 800-556-2770. Please be generous, 800-556-2770. Right back with Senator Rand Paul.
How was the doctor?
Not what I expected. I have arthritis.
What? How can I help?
Well, the doctor gave me a rundown on what to know and what to do, and also mentioned a symptom tracking app called Arthritis Power. It can help me and the doc manage my arthritis better.
Well, great. Let's download it from the App Store. Arthritis Power?
Yep, it sounds easy. I just have to answer questions about my pain and other symptoms once a week. It only takes a few minutes. The doctor says that seeing my symptoms over time in this app can help us understand how my arthritis is responding to treatment.
That's cool. Now don't forget to use it, old man. You'll be helping yourself and your doctor.
Old man. And what does that make you then?
If you have arthritis, download Arthritis Power. Arthritis Power is from the nonprofit Global Healthy Living Foundation and its patient community, Creaky Joints. Your information is protected, and there's never a cost. In fact, you could even be paid for participating in research surveys about arthritis. For more information, go to arthritispower.org or search for Arthritis Power in your app store.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was between jobs, and we had over $64,000 in credit card debt.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
Working with Trinity was extremely easy. They really guided us into the program and gave us hope.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
My advice to people in a similar situation is to pick up the phone and call and get out of debt. The freedom from that is priceless. Let Trinity help make it better. Don't feel that you have to suffer alone or try to figure out the answer.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that the annual maintenance fees are right around the corner, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863 or online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. As you know, I've been getting on Albin, my producer. I said, Albin, I need more senators on the show. Can you help me out? We were unable to get Henry Clay, a lot of those really famous senators. But we managed to get Rand Paul, and he's in the studio right now. Look, here he is. Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, welcome to this program.
Thank you. You know, I actually sit at Henry Clay's desk. It's passed down to the senior senator from Kentucky, and that's not me. But since the senior senator is the majority leader, I get to sit at Henry Clay's desk.
Okay. I did not know that. That is pretty extraordinary. That might even be a divine appointment that I should bring up Henry Clay. I don't know that we've ever interviewed senators on this program, but when I found out that you had written this book and that you were willing to come here, I was just very, very excited. So thank you for being here. The book that I have in my hands, which you've written, is called The Case Against Socialism. Unfortunately, as you know, that case needs to be made today. I'm really grateful to you for making it. The book comes festooned with encomia from people of whom I'm very fond. But tell us, if you would, how did you come to write a book with something as basic as that being the subject?
Well, a couple of years ago, I taught a course at George Washington on the dystopian novel. And I've always been a huge fan of 1984, Brave New World, Anthem. And I think it's interesting as you go back the lineage. Everybody knows 1984, but Brave New World came first. Anthem came about the same time in the 1930s. But even before that came sort of what people call the grandfather of the dystopian novel. That's We by Zamyatin. It's a wonderful book, and a lot of people haven't read it. It's underread and underappreciated anymore. But even going back one step before that was Lenin's favorite author, Chernyshevsky, who wrote a book called What Is to Be Done, and then there was a response to that that became very famous called Dostoevsky's Notes from Underground. So I taught a course in this, and a lot of it's about – the course was also about its intersection with socialism and Nazi socialism, national socialism. And the kids kept asking me, well, is it inevitable that you have violence or authoritarianism when you have socialism? And that became sort of the theme for the book.
Yes, and the answer is unfortunately yes, it is inevitable, right? Most people who know you, I'm guessing, wouldn't know your background. Maybe people know your famous father, but tell us if you would how you came to be the Senator Rand Paul that we know today, how you came to your conservative thinking, how you came to be a Christian, because you're a very principled, smart, and quiet person sometimes. I think you don't. You don't blab about your biography, but I'd love you to blab for a moment about your bio.
Well, you know, I grew up the son of a physician. My dad was an OBGYN. I ended up becoming a physician. I'm an ophthalmologist, so I do eye surgery. And my dad also got involved in politics, and somehow I also got involved in politics. You know, I was very active in my youth group as a kid, in our church youth group, and I still think it's one of the best ways to get kids involved, you know, as far as with Christianity and becoming a Christian is let them go outside and do stuff fun. You know, we went to camp, we'd be on the bus, would break down three or four times every trip. You ever heard of a Stuckey's? Stuckey's is sort of a, you know, along the rural highways of the South, there are Stuckey's, and we'd be stuck there for hours while the bus was being repaired.
And this is in Texas. You grew up in Texas.
I grew up in Texas. And so I went to medical school in North Carolina at Duke, went down to do a year of general surgery in Atlanta, and that's where I met my wife, Kelly. And Kelly and I actually work on the book together. I sort of started out writing it, and then she read it and said, you know what? I could make this really interesting if you let me help.
Wow.
And so, and that's just joking, but she did. She made it a lot more interesting, and she brought in a lot of research about Scandinavia, because one of the big things that today's socialists are, they used to like Castro, but now not so much. They used to like Venezuela, now not so much, but they love Scandinavia.
Right.
And it really is their argument, and I think if you can defeat that from a practical point of view, they really have no leg to stand on, because there really are no good examples of socialism working very well.
Well, let's go there first, because that really is the principal objection to objections to socialism. What do we make of Scandinavia? Are they not that socialist? What is your take?
The first thing we discovered is actually that Bernie is too socialist to get elected in Scandinavia. In fact, when he is talking about Denmark being this great socialist nation, the prime minister of Denmark spoke up and said, hey, Bernie, pipe down. We're not socialist. We're open for business. We're ranked in the top 10 for trade and markets and labor regulations. And interestingly, low corporate taxes. And so when he says he wants to model it on the socialism of Scandinavia, they have a private stock market. They have private property. And they actually have low business taxes.
That's the shock. They have low business tax.
And they have for several decades.
In Scandinavia.
Yeah. Now, they do have a big welfare state, and this is the other lie that Bernie tells. Bernie and AOC are going around the country saying you can have all this free stuff, you can have the welfare state. They do have a welfare state. They have a big government in Scandinavia, but you can have it all, and all you got to do is tax the really rich people. Well, the math doesn't add up, and in Scandinavia, it doesn't add up. In Scandinavia, they actually tax the working class, 25% sales tax. Then they also tax the middle class. You have a 60% income tax starting at $60,000. So it really is just a lie. Everything that Bernie and AOC are telling us about the socialism of Scandinavia, they're not socialist. They are a big welfare state, but they're a big welfare state that requires large taxation by the middle class and working class. And this is why the question, you know, Elizabeth Warren's been asked this over and over again, are you going to have to raise taxes to pay for all these things on the middle class? And she dances around the question because the answer is yes.
Well, the answer is a resounding yes. But I think the issue, the reason socialism has become somewhat popular among people who are ignorant, I don't mean simply ignorant, but ignorant of the way these things work, is because it always seems to be other people who will be taxed. In other words, if you're a disenfranchised, you know, 24-year-old living in your parents' basement, smoking weed, and you know, you hate everything, and you kind of think, I won't be the one that gets taxed because I'm really not making any money. Somebody else will be taxed, and I will get their money. And so it's a kind of it's the ugliest kind of populism that says that there are people out there who have something that they don't deserve, and we're going to take it from them. But what you're saying is that when you actually lay it out, no, in fact, there's not enough money among the few rich to pay for everybody. So it's everybody. It's the middle class and the working class that will also be heavily taxed.
Right. And this is people have looked at this and said, you know, when AOC says she wants a 70% tax on those making $10 million, like, go get those rich people.
Yeah.
And yet when you add it up, it brings in about $50 billion. But when you add up their spending for the new Green Deal and climate change and Medicare for all, it's about $60 trillion. So they want to spend $60 trillion, and they're going to bring in $50 billion.
They're going to bring in $50 billion, which sounds like a lot of money, until you actually look at, you know, in the world in which we live on a national scale, $50 billion is nothing.
Right.
And if we were to tax people that heavily, we get $50 billion, and where does the rest come from? What do you say also to this idea that I guess maybe the Laffer curve comes into it? I mean, at some point, if you don't have enough freedom, you don't have enough incentive, you are not creating wealth. It seems that socialists don't understand the idea of creating wealth, that we can make the pie bigger. If somebody doesn't understand that at all, explain, what does it mean to create wealth to somebody who has no idea of this concept?
Well, this is another one of the big lies that is spread by today's socialists, particularly Bernie Sanders. He says, well, if you get rich, you've got to be taking it from me that it's a zero-sum game, that the pie's not getting larger. So we look at a lot of statistics on progress, and I think these are underrated because what sells in our country is controversy and bad news. But if you look at humanprogress.org, they've looked at a lot of the evidence, statistical evidence for progress. If you look at world GDP, it's doubled 8 times since 1820. If you look at poverty, in 1820, 90% of people lived in extreme poverty, less than $2 a day. When I was born in the 1960s, it had gone down to about a third of the world. So we went from 90% in extreme poverty to a third. Today it's less than 10%. And you don't hear that because you hear of famine and starvation, and there still are. I'm not saying there aren't needy people, and yet it's less than 10% of the world because India's growing gangbusters. China's growing gangbusters. So the thing is really there's a lot of wealth being created in our country and worldwide, but they say, oh, woe is me, the middle class is shrinking. It's shrinking only because people in the middle class are moving to the upper class.
Wow. This is heavy stuff, and I really do think that the zero-sum game lie has to be be explained for what it is. But I guess I'm fascinated that people as bright as Bernie Sanders somehow buy into this, that they don't seem to appreciate that the free market and freedom can actually build wealth. Do you think that they really don't understand that? We've just got seconds here, but I want to get that on the break. So give me the 10-second answer, and then we'll come back.
I think they're mostly disingenuous on this, and they do it for politics to gain power. So to gain election, they say we're only going to tax the rich people because there's not very many of them, and you don't want to say you're going to really have to tax the middle class because there's too many of them vote.
It's that simple. Folks, we'll be right back. I'm talking to Senator Rand Paul. The book is The Case Against Socialism. Don't go away.
Tell me all you have to say. We were laughing, singing songs. Told the rain to go.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Vice President Pence and National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien are being dispatched to Turkey as soon as possible. Meanwhile, President Trump says approximately 1,000 U.S. troops will remain in the Middle East to monitor the situation and to prevent a revival of ISIS. One EU official says the major issue blocking a Brexit deal, how to handle the Irish border, is close to being resolved, and a deal with Britain might be in sight within hours. A person briefed on the talk says General Motors CEO Mary Barra is joining negotiators at the bargaining table, a sign that an agreement may be near to ending that month-long strike. The strike has shut down all GM's U.S. factories and hampered production in Canada and Mexico. The Dow ahead 308 points now. The NASDAQ is up 114. This is SRN News.
Okay, so you have tax debt. Maybe you owe $10,000, $50,000, or a whole lot more. But did you know the IRS is literally giving away billions of dollars in tax relief? Now's your chance to finally take advantage of these generous IRS programs and resolve your tax debt for less than what you owe. Call Stop IRS Debt now. Our top-rated reduction system maximizes these tax savings and protects you from IRS collections fast. It's in our name. Stop collection calls. Stop the nasty letters. Stop the bank levies and stop those crippling wage garnishments. Have you waited years to file your tax returns? Or maybe you're already in a payment plan or under audit. You can still save money. Call Stop IRS Debt now and check what savings you qualify for. You may uncover a tax bill thousands less than what you owe. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau and hundreds of five-star reviews because our system works. Call Stop IRS Debt and check for savings now. 800-910-4979. 800-910-4979. 800-910-4979.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking right now in the studio to Senator Rand Paul. He has a new book out, brand new, called The Case Against Socialism. I have to ask you, when the president declared America will never be a socialist country, as a Christian, I almost saw it as a prophetic statement to the demons of socialism. When Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, it had a similar ring. It was more than something in a speech or a statement. It seemed to be a kind of a declaration, and a lot of people rally around that. That we have somebody who understands that and who can declare that. What do you think will happen in this next election and as we go forward? Because it is a scary thing that socialism has found as much appeal as it has.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine exactly why. Some of the polls have shown that over half of young people are actually in favor of socialism. But if you re-poll them and ask them what is socialism, only about 16% will answer, you know, state ownership of the means of production or state owning the private property. So the young people are being taught in their schools that, you know, everything should be fair and everything should be equal. And they're taught that, you know, if you can't spell very well, but, you know, you need self-esteem, here's some self-esteem and here's a trophy.
Right.
And that kind of stuff's been going on for a long time, decade after decade.
Yeah.
So we have generations of young people who just want things to be fair. And then they're accepting this zero-sum game that, oh, it's terrible, it's a rotten world. So in some ways, one of the biggest things we have to do to combat socialism from a practical point of view is make sure everybody knows how rich the world is becoming and how rich the entire world. It's amazing. I mean, talk about buying food. In 1919, the average worker could buy one basket of food, can buy seven times as much food now for the same price. The average worker in the 1950s could buy a refrigerator with 150 hours worth of work, can now buy it with 12 hours worth of work. So productivity and the price is coming down. And so I said this to Trevor Noah the other night on the comedy program. You know what his response was? He said, yeah, except for education and health care. And I said, well, you know what's common to education and health care? The government has screwed up both of these marketplaces, and the prices are rising because of the government intervention, not capitalism.
It's interesting to me that there really is this lockstep in the media, obviously in Hollywood and among comedians. Typically, they don't understand this in depth. They just have these kind of ideas in their head, and then when they're pushed at all, which typically they aren't, they don't really have answers because they're kind of living in a bubble. And I think that's the danger of the media generally, is that they all seem to think the same thing. They seem to think that, you know, Trump is evil and that getting rid of him will solve all our problems. And so it is difficult. How do you feel about the upcoming election? Do you have a sense that the Democrats may be able to find somebody whom they could get elected?
I think even the Democrats worry about having someone with the actual label of socialism. And so, you know, when I talk to Chuck Schumer and I see him in passing and say, well, aren't you so lucky that AOC is such a great spokesman for your economic model of socialism? He just kind of grumbles and frets, and because I think he knows that socialism isn't going to really sell. The same way, you know, when Beto O'Rourke doesn't say he wants gun control, he says he's coming to the 10 million people who have an AR-15 and he's going to take them. Even the Democrats are like, he might have gone too far there. And so I think they'll end up getting something like Elizabeth Warren. But she actually parrots every one of Bernie's positions. She's just a liberal of the old cloth who is smart enough not to reveal that she's also a socialist or accept the label.
We are both friends of the great Oz Guinness, and much that I've learned about why American-style self-government and liberty works and creates all of the wonderful things we've been talking about, I owe to Oz and to his book, A Free People's Suicide, which I know you've read. Talk to me about whether you grew up with this sense of America, because my parents came from Europe. I feel like I have the immigrant's point of view that I appreciate America because I know where they came from. Did you grow up with that idea, or is it something that came to later in life, an appreciation of the exceptionalism of the country?
I'll get to the second part only after I start with Oz Guinness, because I love sort of the encapsulation of what it requires to have a free society. And he says liberty requires restraint, but the only restraint consistent with a free society is voluntary restraint. And that sort of sums up sort of the conservative libertarian spirit. You know, I want you to be free to do a lot of things, but I don't want you to do all these things. You know what I mean? I want you to be free to almost do anything as long as you don't hurt someone. But it doesn't mean I advise all of those things that you could do with your freedom. And it kind of fits with our founding fathers, too, because that's what Washington talked about, that democracy required a virtuous people. But Oz's understanding that virtue can't be commanded or given to you, the government can't make you virtuous, is, I think, it may seem like a simple insight, but it's an insight that a lot of other people don't get. As far as the work ethic or whatever got me to this place, I would say that our family came from very humble means. When they came over here, my dad's side of the family came from Germany, and they, I think, still owe some people in Germany, actually. But they came over here with nothing, and they peddled vegetables on the street corner. And then eventually they said, wow, we could make more money if we got the truck. And we carried the vegetables from the farm to the street corner and sold them. And they eventually had a dairy. My dad's first job at age 3 was cleaning the bottles, the old glass bottles at the dairy.
At age 3.
And so we all worked. You know, I grew up in a physician's family, and people like, and this is a problem sometimes, we grew up in much greater affluence than my dad did. But we always still worked. We mowed yards. We, you know, worked in landscaping. We all had jobs. And this is something my wife and I talk about, because there was a couple years ago, Michelle Obama said, oh, someday I want my girls to work in minimum wage to see how horrible it is.
Right.
And we're the opposite. We wanted our kids to work minimum wage to see how great work is.
Hang on one second, folks. We're talking to Senator Rand Paul. We'll continue the conversation. The new book is called The Case Against Socialism. Don't go away. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Now for years I've been telling you about the 3-week quick start pack that you can get from Relief Factor for under $20, that it's the smart way to go if you're struggling with back and neck pain or shoulder, hip, or knee pain. In fact, I've told you that about 70% of the people who order the 3-week quick start pack go on to order more. But why is it that the 30% don't go on to order more? Well, when Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, surveyed that 30%, many of them admitted that they never gave it a legitimate try. They maybe took one packet a day for a few days and then skipped a day or two, or they didn't do what the doctors who created it recommended, which is 3 packets a day for a full week and then 2 packets a day for the next 2 weeks. That's the 3-week quick start. So when you order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95, tell yourself you'll do what the doctors have recommended. Let's make sure you're happy and in the 70% that is in less or no pain at all. I am in that group. Folks, this stuff can be at your house in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. I do recommend it. I do use it. Relieffactor.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and the Prager Store has compiled every male-female hour since 2010. We've had topics and calls about marriage, kids, dating, intimacy, fidelity, plus every segment with my friend and relationship expert, Alison Armstrong. These segments have literally saved marriages. For a limited time, the complete collection, 10 years of male-female hour, 50% off, available on flash drives or as a download, go to PragerStore.com.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of 6, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. You have all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. You know I use it. I rave about it. You can get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers. I love that. Bed sheets, so much more. For example, they're bringing back the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Now, remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener special so you can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. You've got to enter the promo code ERIC or Metaxas. That's the key. Eric or Metaxas, 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow I'll be on my way. I guess the Lord must be in New York City.
Hey folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Senator Rand Paul. His new book is The Case Against Socialism. Senator, I have to ask you right now, as we talk, of course, we have a very strange situation with this president having chosen to pull our troops out in the Middle East, leaving the Kurds exposed and that sort of thing. What do you have to say to my listeners, many of whom, along with me, were dismayed at that?
I guess the way I look at our first obligation as people who are in the center of the House is our first obligation is to the Constitution. The Constitution says that when we go to war, we place sons or daughters, your sons or daughters, into war and into harm's way, that we vote on it. We very specifically took away that power from the presidency. And in fact, I think it was Madison who said that the executive branch is the branch most prone to war. Therefore, with studied care, we vested the power to go to war in the legislature. Now, some will argue, oh, they're not really at war. Well, soldiers either got to go to war or don't go to war. I mean, sit 50 soldiers over there with 10,000 Turks coming in. They are in the middle of a war. And if they die or they come home missing two legs or two legs and an arm, it's the obligation of us to have upheld our duty to the Constitution and have debated it. The one reason we won't debate this is the war in Syria is so confusing. Nobody knows who to declare war on. Turkey's an ally. They're a NATO ally.
Do we really believe that they're an ally? They're probably the worst ally in the history of allies.
That's another debate, and I agree with you on that debate. Yeah. I don't think they're a good ally, but they are a NATO ally, and according to NATO, we actually are supposed to defend anybody that attacks them. They're allied with another group called the Free Syrian Army. You may remember that name because for 7 years they were our ally in the war against Assad, and we spent $250 million training like 10 of them, some ridiculous amount of money. But they were our ally for many years. They're allied with the Turks now. They're fighting against the Kurds. And you say, well, the Kurds are good people and they're marvelous and heroic. They are, but there's a bunch of different Kurds. They're not all the same. So you have Iraqi Kurds who really don't like the Syrian Kurds. Currently, the Iraqi Kurds are cooperating with Turkey to turn over some of the Kurdish Workers Party, which are socialists that are very active in the politics of Kurdistan. So I guess the question is my obligation is to the Constitution. I'm glad that us helping the Kurds helped both them and us. And people say, oh, well, they were just doing our fighting for us. No, they weren't. They lived there. They were eradicating this horrible enemy, ISIS, that had taken over their villages and their families and were, you know, beheading people. So they did what they can. And now you say, well, what's the best chance they have? What can America do? Well, their best chance is actually to be allied with Assad. But so many in America have said Assad's got to go. But guess what? Assad was fairly tolerant of Christians in his society, more tolerant than the Sunni extremists on the other side that we had funded. So it's a really, really confusing world. Had the people that were fighting against Assad won, I really think that they were closer to the ideology of ISIS than they were to an ideology that we have. So it's just so confusing. And if I'm going to send someone, son or daughter, really ought to be clearly for freedom and not necessarily for something that I think most people can't understand.
I guess one principal concern that people had about, in a sense, leaving the Kurds to fend for themselves is this idea that we seem to sometimes get in the habit of abandoning our allies. When I think about what happened under George Bush the First, you know, the idea that people stood by us and then we let a dictator like Saddam Hussein attack them, or when we pulled out of Vietnam, that it's sort of an ugly thing when we do that.
But I guess if you keep looking back, you find that at some point in time, maybe our intervention was the wrong thing to do. So we intervened on the side of Saddam Hussein against Iran in an 8-year-long bloody war. We kind of liked Hussein at one point in time because he was a counterbalance to Iran. And you say, well, he was an awful dictator. He was. But when we got rid of him, we got chaos. And now we have a government in Iraq that's aligned with Iran, and Iran is stronger. So if our purpose was somehow to deter Iran, we've actually made it worse. So we have to, I think, reexamine the unintended consequences of our foreign policy.
Right.
Same with Libya. You know, Gaddafi was a bad guy, but he eventually gave up his nuclear weapons, and we were somewhat dealing with him. He still was a bad guy, but we got rid of him. And I think some people in our society are naive enough to say, well, they're going to elect Thomas Jefferson
next.
He doesn't exist in Libya.
I'm glad you brought that up, because once again, it was Oz Guinness that helped me to understand all of this. When I wrote my book, If You Can Keep It, which I'll give you a copy of before you go. But I remember the moment that it struck me that what we did in Iraq was naive. In other words, if you really believe that getting rid of the strongman dictator will automatically have Paul Revere replace him, then I'm all for that. But in fact, that isn't what happens, because American self-government, the kind of liberty that we cherish, is fragile and difficult, and it doesn't spring up
right
whenever you kill the dictator.
And I think Oz Guinness and others are good at describing that the extraordinary nature of the experiment was the American experiment, but also that its lineage doesn't start like with our revolution. A lot of Americans think the American Revolution was this abrupt thing for freedom.
Right.
No, it really starts like 1215
That's
or maybe
right.
before,
right.
you know, with the barons at Runnymede, Magna Carta. But then what we see is the English didn't like the power of the king. The English, while we think we were the only ones that didn't like the king, the English were always trying to constrain the central power.
Right.
And then when we get a central power, the presidency, and this is what some of the neoconservatives in our country have forgotten, we didn't want a strong presidency because we didn't want a king. So we really put the president in a box and said he would execute the war, but he could never start the war because Europe was just full of brothers fighting cousins and brothers fighting brothers, and we didn't want to be perpetually at war. And really, if you look at overall prosperity, you get much more prosperity when we're not at war, and war often doesn't work to its intended consequences. So maybe we should think about, let's go to war only when we have to.
Well, I think most people would agree with that, but it needs explaining, and you've done a great job of helping us get our heads around it, because I do think that the narrative that we hear in the media, it's very simple usually, and the whole thing, as you've just described, it's anything but simple. It's very complicated, thinking about what does it mean if we do this or don't do this. I mean, I think Saddam Hussein, well, I think he was unquestionably a monster, and a horrible monster. But can anyone doubt that Kim Jong-un is a monster, that the people suffering tortures of the damned in his North Korea today, you know, if we could wave a magic wand and change that, we would.
And I guess one way I look at it differently than people, there are despots around the world. So I think the crown prince in Saudi Arabia is a despot. And I think Saudi Arabia has spread more radical Islam and more radical jihadism way more than Iran. So I actually think Saudi Arabia is a worse, malign influence than Iran is. And yet, if you ask me, should we go at war to topple the crown prince,
right,
I would say no. But here's what I would do.
Don't forgive me in the middle of a sentence. We're going to be right back to complete that sentence. It's radio. Rand Paul is my guest. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. As you know, following Christ is a lifelong pursuit. It requires perseverance, and practice makes permanent. A new study Bible for today is the third edition of the Life Application Study Bible. Read by more than 20 million people, it's the best-selling study Bible Bible in the world. The Life Application Study Bible is not a Bible for a season. It's not for a New Year's resolution. It's not just for hard times. It's a Bible for all times, with more than 10,000 newly updated and expanded notes, charts, maps, timelines, profiles, and more. The Life Application Study Bible is the most complete single-volume Bible ever compiled. It is just what you need to apply biblical teaching to your everyday life. As you train for the race God calls each of us to, the Life Application Study Bible is the companion and coach you need by your side every single step of the way. For who you were, who you are, and who God has called you to become for all times. Learn more at lifeapplication.com. That's lifeapplication.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump says the roughly 1,000 U.S. troops he has ordered to leave Syria will remain in the region to prevent a resurgence of ISIS. Military analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, says the U.S. retains a significant military presence in the Middle East.
We, of course, have a sizable footprint in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iraq, Bahrain, Oman, and other regional areas, much less an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf and so forth.
As the clock ticks closer to the end of the month deadline, one EU official says the major issue blocking a Brexit deal, how to handle the Irish border, is close to being resolved now, and a deal with Britain might be in sight within hours. On Wall Street, the Dow ahead 288 points. The NASDAQ is up 110. This is SRN News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I cut off Senator Rand Paul in the middle of a wonderful sentence. Please, Senator Paul, continue.
We're talking about whether it's right to topple regimes that we don't like, that are undemocratic or tyrannical, or at the least whether or not we should at least not give them stuff. And so I'm of the camp that, like Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince, I got no use for him. He killed a journalist, Khashoggi. They treat women like, you know what, they treat the Shiites terribly. It's not a just kingdom at all. It's a really, they have slaves whipping, they behead people, they crucify people still in Saudi Arabia. So I've got no use for them. But I don't think that I should send troops there to topple them. But what I would say is the arms that we sell to other countries are uniquely American taxpayers' goods. They're not like shoes or clothes or something. We should restrain ourselves and restrain the sale and make our sale of arms contingent upon behavior. And I think we could have some influence. For example, right now in Syria, if you want peace or something better for the Kurds, or you want people to come together, let's quit selling them all arms for a while. We gave all the Sunni extremists arms against Assad. We give Turkey arms. Turkey's now not a very good ally and working with Russia. And so what we really need to do is say, hey, let's all get together and see if we can have a ceasefire. But you're probably going to have Assad at the table. You're going to probably have to have Turkey at the table. You might well have to have Russia at the table. You have to have Iraq at the table. Hopefully you have Kurds. But if I were wishing something well for the Kurds, and people think somehow I don't care about the Kurds, I actually do. The best thing that's happened to the Kurds in probably 150 years is the semi-autonomous region in Iraq. There's a possibility you could have the same thing in Syria, but Turkey's got to be placated, and Turkey's acting like they're not placated, but Turkey has to talk to somebody. But because Assad has not been strong enough for anybody to talk to, and the U.S. is saying, nobody talks to Assad, we got to get rid of him, there is no ability to negotiate a peace.
Who do you think is screwing this up? Who are the voices? Is it the State Department? Is it Foggy Bottom? Who is this?
Well, in some ways, it's the notion that the absolute notion that Assad needs to go and Thomas Jefferson is going to replace him.
Right, which we know is ridiculous.
Right. And Assad, essentially the war's over. Assad somehow survived the war. And so Assad's going to remain unless his own people somehow get rid of him. That could possibly happen. But so Assad stays, and so Assad has to be part of the negotiation. But I think he also could reassure the Turks that the Kurds are going to be part of Syria, and they'll have some autonomy, sort of like a state or a province, but that Syria would guarantee they would not have incursions into Turkey. But see, Turkey's not getting that reassurance because it's chaos over there. So Turkey's taking, you know, and using force with their own hands. And by no means do I want to compliment Turkey. We should be withholding arms from Turkey right now to try to get them, convince them what's in their best interest and in our best interest.
I want to talk to you for so much longer. We don't have the time. But it strikes me that America can and has been and should be a force for tremendous good around the world. We have the power to do that. I've been deeply grieved at the cowardice of many corporate leaders. I think of the NBA specifically now, who don't seem to believe in anything except profits. What can the government do about that? We've probably got 40 seconds.
Probably not the government, but the best example of a voluntary boycott that was successful was probably apartheid. And so you had this sort of these separate systems of white and blacks that had gone on for hundreds of years in South Africa, and the world said they objected to it. The world didn't invade. And I'm really just not much for war. You ask about Christianity. I don't think it's a very Christian thing to sort of be advocating war. There's a whole just war doctrine of when you're attacked, responding.
Well, I mean, what can we do with the NBA? I think on, you know, what can we do with the corporate leaders on this side?
You can quit buying their tickets.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell them you need to stand up. And people do. Like, people object to China stealing intellectual property, and they say, what are you going to do? And I was like, what do you want me to do, invade China?
Right.
So my brother-in-law's company, they just quit selling there because they were stealing their stuff.
But I mean, you have to have guts, and you have to have some kind of values to do those things.
Hey, Eric, we're talking about corporate America.
Well, that's the problem, though. If you want to be an American and make profits here, you need to know what you believe in.
You can have both, but it's unusual,
yes,
unfortunately.
Not everybody can be Hobby Lobby. We're going to be, unfortunately, we're ending this conversation. Senator Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.